This is Ham College, episode 116, for August 30th, 2024. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Keep your competitive contesting edge with ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
What did we talk about last month?
Let me think about that for a minute. It seems like we might have talked about frequency allocations, emission modes, spectrum sharing, transmissions near band edges, contacting the International Space Station, power output, where did the name Ham come from, and spark gap transmitters. I'm just off the top of my head.
That was a good bit. This time around, we're going to talk about licensing, about classes, sequential and vanity call sign system, places where amateur radio service is regulated by the FCC, name and address on FCC license database, term, renewal, grace period, maintaining mailing address, international communications, and we're going to talk a little bit about receivers as well.
Well, it seems like we might be here for quite some time.
It could be.
There's a lot of topics there.
That is. So, first question, I don't know who asked who. I never do.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take one for the team. You All ask right. first.
Well, let's see here. First, we want to mention, if you're watching on YouTube there, well, you probably already see there's a chat room there. If you're watching the live stream, we're on the YouTube chat, so feel free to join on in. You must subscribe to the Amateur Logic channel.
You got to be a subscriber to be able to post.
Yeah, you can watch, but you can't post unless you do that. And that's to keep the spam down, because otherwise there'd be folks on here selling sunglasses and everything
Screen
else.
Doors.
Screen doors. That has actually happened to us, hasn't it?
Yep.
Not on YouTube, but... Just spam in general.
Yep.
All right. First question here tonight.
You want me to kick the football? Show my screen where I saved you. We had a little game of paper football going on in here earlier before we got started.
Yeah. We were feeling a little sunburn there, it looks like, too.
Yep.
Okay. Are you ready?
That's a loaded question. I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
Okay, that's close enough.
For somebody that didn't study.
For which license classes are new licenses currently available from the FCC? Is it A, novice, technician, general, amateur extra?
B, technician, technician plus, general, or amateur extra?
C, novice, technician plus, general, advanced?
Or D, technician, general, and amateur extra. So just three. For which classes are new licenses currently available from the FCC? Novice. There's no technician anymore. And
yes, there is.
I'm sorry. There's no novice anymore. I think I better put these back on. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. No technician plus. And no novice. It's going to be D, technician, general, and amateur extra.
Chat room saying D. I'll agree with you.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss that one since I've held all three of those.
There you go.
Who may select a desired call sign under the vanity call sign rules? A, only a licensed amateur with general or amateur extra class license.
B, only a licensed amateur with an amateur extra class license.
C, only a licensed amateur who has been licensed continuously for more than 10 years.
D, any licensed amateur. I'm going to go with D. Because I just happen to know that one because I got a vanity when I was a technician. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say D. The chat room.
I agree with that.
Yeah, saying D. And it is.
You know why?
Why?
Because they've charged you for them.
Yeah. I think there was a little period where they didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I had to pay when I got mine, I think. That's been a few years. I don't remember. But it seems like I did. I'm pretty sure I did. I got another one for you.
Okay, hit me.
What type of international communications are an FCC-licensed amateur radio station permitted to make? A, communications incidental to the purposes of amateur radio and remarks of a personal character.
B, communications incidental to conducting business or remarks of a personal nature.
C, only communications incidental to contest exchange. All other communications are prohibited.
Or D, any communication that would be permitted by an international broadcast station. Okay, so it's not going to be A or D, I'm sure of that. Only communications incidental to contest exchanges. So that's bull, because what would people talk about the weather?
Yeah.
B, communications incidental to conducting business. You cannot conduct business on the amateur radio. So the answer is going to be A, alpha, communications incidental to the purpose of the amateur radio service and remarks of a personal character. Most hams are characters, too, anyways, a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, when you see that remarks of a personal character, that almost sounds like you're saying something ugly.
It could. But, I could see how you might think that.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I believe it's A, as chat room does as well.
Well, no, it's not B, C, or D, so it's got to be A.
Yeah.
What may happen if the FCC is unable to reach you by email? A, fine and suspension of operator license.
B, revocation of the station license or suspension of the operator license.
C, revocation of access to the license record in the FCC system.
D, nothing. There is no such requirement. Well, at one time that would have been correct because there weren't any emails. But there are now, and the FCC likes to use them, so...
That's actually all they'll use.
Yeah. What may happen if the FCC is unable to reach you by email? Fine and suspension of operator's license. No, they're not going to fine you. B, rectification of the station license or suspension of the operator license. C, revocation of access to the license records. No. D, nothing. Of course, that's not correct. I'm going to say B. Revocation of the station license or suspension of the operator license. Yeah, revocation of the license seems pretty extreme, but they're serious.
That's their requirement, I think.
Yeah.
You got to have it or you can't even get your ticket at all.
Yeah, not anymore. B. A little mix in the chat room there.
Yeah, this is fairly new.
Yeah, this is not always.
It just started a couple years ago or so.
That's not always been in the rules. Which of the following is a valid technician class call sign format? Is it A, KF1XXX?
B, KA1X?
C, W1XX?
Or D, all these choices are correct. Which of the following is a valid technician class call sign format? It's not D. I think you might be able to get a vanity out of one of those if it were available. But typically they got three letters after the number. Like my call sign's N5ZNO. And I got that when I was technician. I just kept it. I think it's going to be A, KF1XXX. Typically, there's three alphas after the number.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. It's A. Chat room says it's A.
A.
A. Yeah. Now, they're out of N's. They're out of W's. They're out of A's and K's. So, any that they issue today are going to be two letters at the beginning, unless it's a vanity call. But for a technician, it's going to have those three letters after the number.
Yeah, the issued one definitely will be that format. Three. Yep. Yeah, but pretty soon they're going to run out of all the alphabets. They're going to have to start using Roman numerals or something.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about this. Like,
actually, Roman numerals are alphabet, too.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this almost 10 years ago. Well, that wasn't
That was pretty recent.
Yeah.
Remember it?
I could see where you would say that. The United States is divided into separate groups there. And you can see down here in the south, with Texas in the center of it, that's Zone 5. That's where Tommy and I are. Over to the east, or southeast, there's Zone 4. Covers a good many states in the southeast there. California over there has got their own zone. They're Zone 6. Up in the northwest, we've got Zone 7. In the Midwest there, Zone 0 and Zone 9 over there by the Great Lakes, as well as 8. And then 3, 2, and 1 up in the Northeast. All those zones, when you get a license from the FCC, they're going to issue you your first call sign. It's going to have a number in it, depending on which of those zones you list as your address.
Right.
And for a technician, the first letter is going to be either, or this is for any amateur in the U.S., the first letter is going to be either an A, K, N, or W.
Right.
All right, and those aren't exclusive. Like a technician could have an A, you know, as his first letter. Mm-hmm. Most of them, though, at this point, seems like they're issuing K call signs, aren't they?
Most of the newer ones that I've seen are K.
Yeah. When we were licensed technicians, they were still on N's.
Right.
And they finally ran out of N's, so they moved to, I think, KD, maybe. Maybe there were some
KB.
KCs. KB?
Yep. Stan had a KB.
That's right. But there's two different call sign formats you can get as a technician. You can get what's called a 1x3, and that's going to be one letter followed by one number, and then three more letters.
Three more letters, yeah. Or just like mine.
You can get a 2x3, and what would that be?
Well, just pretty much what you said, two letters, one number, and three letters on the end,
mm-hmm.
which is what most of the ones I've seen lately are KD5 something, something, something,
yep.
So forth.
So that's currently what's being issued. But there's,
at least in our area.
Yeah. We're going to talk here in a second about vanity call signs. If you don't like the call sign you got, you can apply with the FCC, and for a fee, a small fee.
Pretty much a small fee to get you anything these days.
Yeah, well, except one that hadn't already been given to somebody else. But you can change your call signs. Then you can choose a 1x3 or a 2x3, and you can start it with an A, K, N, or W, as long as no one else has that call sign. But that's going to be in a question coming up here in just a little bit.
And yours is a vanity call sign.
Mine is a vanity call sign. I was originally an N5, just like you are. Mm-hmm. And I was an N5 for years and years. And I don't know, one day I was looking around, and I did a search, and I found that W5JDX was available. And I used to work for WJDX. And it was the oldest station in the state, you know, a heritage station. And I said, you know, I'd like to have that for my call sign. So I applied to the vanity system and got the call sign.
How much did that cost you?
I can't remember exactly. In the neighborhood of $20, something like that.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad.
And I've still got the original one I had when I was first licensed. Yeah. I actually kind of liked it, so I'm just going to...
Yeah, you had a good one. Mine, I really didn't like it that much. And I won't go into why, but I just didn't like it that much. But I kept it a long time anyway. So once again, there's your call sign areas there. And you see, like here in Mississippi, Tommy and I fall into a 5. Well, when I got my vanity call sign, I could have chose any number that's on there. I wouldn't necessarily have to have a 5.
Yeah, you can buy from whatever area.
Yeah.
And the other thing to say is if you're in our area and you were issued a 5 and you relocate to Illinois or whatever, where the 9s are, you mm-hmm. don't have to change that. You can keep yours.
You can keep it, yeah. So, used to,
if a guy gave his call sign, it's got a number in it, and you could tell by that number what part of the United States he lived in. Not so much so today.
Yeah, free for all now.
Yeah, sort of. So, I mean, it's the majority of licenses do fall within their,
yeah,
you know, the call area there,
yeah,
but
you can't
some of them
it,
don't. Yep.
I'm guessing back then, which was about, what did I say, that clip was shot?
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, March of 2015. So, yeah, almost 10 years ago. I thought it was $20. I still think it was $20. I'm not sure what it is today because I hadn't looked, but it is no longer free. However, if you're down under, in the land down under, according to Riding Down Under here, and I believe I read this recently as well, licensing fees in Australia just became free.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is.
We're going the other direction here.
Seems to be.
Yeah, but it's okay. $35 for 10 years, I can't complain too much about that.
Yeah.
You get a lot of fun out of $35.
Oh, it was $35 down there. No, 55, excuse me. Per year. Wow.
Wow.
Of course, their dollars are a little different than our dollars. So, oh, I also noticed Tom in here said it used to be to get a new call sign. You used to get a new call sign if you moved out of one call area to another. If I moved from five land to four.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't think so. No.
but you did one time, though.
I did, yeah. Florida was four, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't an amateur at that point, so. Yeah. Australian, $55. U.S. dollars is $35. So it's about the same price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got more questions to go. Well, what do you say we take a quick break? Get a message from ICOM. Come back. And then we've got a little history lesson here.
History. I love history.
As well as a little show and tell.
Awesome.
Keep your competitive contesting edge with ICOM. ICOM's high-powered base stations cut through polyps, letting you work the bends and record those contacts. Contest from the comfort of your home or remotely with the RSBA1 app. Heard it, worked it, logged it. ICOM heard the call and answered. The ICPW2 is here. Take your contesting experience to the next level with ICOM's industry-first linear amplifier, which includes DPD, digital predistortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single-operator 2-radio operation. With the IC7610, faint signals are no longer challenging for DXers and contesters. This high-performance SDR radio changed the world's definition of an SDR transceiver. This high-powered base station features an RF direct sampling system, 110 dB RMDR that can pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals, an independent dual receiver, dual digicell, and more. This is the SDR every ham wants. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. For the love of ham radio.
What do you say we give away something?
Okay. I'm not giving away the shirt off my back this time, but we got a nice one here, though. How about this one?
That'll
nice
work.
ICOM Ham Crew T-shirt. Wow, it almost looks like a repeat. Pete and repeat here. Look just as good when you're leaving the ham fest as you did when you showed up. It's a pretty nice shirt. You'll get a brand new one, not the one that we've been folding up here for years.
Yeah. If you wanted to win that, if you wanted to get one, you know, for no money down.
Easy peasy, man. All you got to do, you don't really even have to be a licensed ham. You just need an email address. Just like the FCC, we require that. So, just send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You want to put a note in there? That's cool. You don't have to. Some people do. Some people don't. But we always enjoy reading them. But anyway, that's all you got to do. So you can go ahead and send it now. We're going to do the drawing for this month's drawing. And the queue's been cleared out, so you can go ahead and send your entries in for the next month if you didn't win.
And I got a winner right here, and they wrote an email to us, a verified email here. He did it in bold, so in a real big font. So
cool, I can take my glasses off. Thank you.
Hello, George and Tommy. Please enter me into your drawing to win an ICOM T-shirt. I really enjoy both your shows. You guys always are fun to watch, and I always learn something new from you. Thank you, 73. Bob Miller, KD4VAM, and he's in Redmond, Washington.
Microsoft country.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Jesse will be in touch with you, get your information to send you your shirt, and congratulations. If you didn't win, don't give up. Send your entry in for the next month's drawing. We've been doing it every month for years and plan to keep going.
Yep. hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. Send it there. There's a radio sitting right there on the corner.
Hey, where'd that come from?
Why don't we talk about that toward the end of the show tonight?
Okay.
That is your radio, isn't it?
It is my radio. How'd you get it in here?
I don't know. I just opened the door and you brought it in.
Actually, you didn't even do that. You weren't even in here.
Yeah.
I opened the door myself and came in.
Well, I have a real classic for you tonight.
Okay.
This is from the first time around with the technician class license here. You did a segment on early radio receivers.
I don't even remember doing that.
You don't?
I'm going to take your word for it.
Do you remember us doing a crystal radio or showing one and talking about it?
Vaguely.
Vaguely? All right.
Well, this is going to be new material for me here.
Well, let's see if this brings back memories for you.
In the early days of radio, receivers were referred to as detectors for the most part. I guess they had no concept of receiver at the time. But in 1888, Heinrich Hertz, I keep wanting to say that with the German accent, but I don't do a good accent. Yeah. Anyway, we discussed him last month. He demonstrated one of the first types of receivers of early radio waves that were transmitted by James Clerk Maxwell. Remember him from Ham College last month?
I sure do,
spark gap. Mr. Maxwell used a spark gap transmitter and a metal ring with a gap in it. The ring would spark when it received the radio waves from the spark gap transmitter.
It didn't look just like this one we're showing right here.
And the spark probably wasn't quite as brilliant and hot either, but still. Another form of radio receivers was the coherer. It was basically a glass tube containing metal filings between two electrodes. When the small electrical charge from the radio waves were picked up by the antenna were applied to the electrodes, the metal particles would cling together or cohere, cause the device to become conductive. This receiver was first demonstrated in 1894.
So, before the turn of the century.
Yeah. Around that period, there were a lot of improvements to both radio receiving and transmitting gear. The Russian engineer Alexander Stepanov Popov, well, how come these guys don't have simple names like Bob Jones or something?
He invented the pop-off valve.
He actually developed a lightning strike detector based on the coherer receiver. Marconi also used a coherer-based design in the first demonstrations of a practical radio wave-based wireless telegraphy system. John Ambrose Fleming developed an early thermionic valve to help detect radio waves, based upon a discovery by Thomas Edison. You may have heard of it, called a light bulb. Anyway, this was called the Edison effect, which essentially was a modified early light bulb. Fleming called it an oscillation valve because it functions similar to a one-way water valve. In the United States, we call these tubes nowadays. A cat's whisker detector, often called a crystal receiver, was another kind of receiver developed. These typically used a galena crystal with a wire spring contact. By moving the wire to different points on the crystal, an optimal point of rectifying the signal was achieved.
I actually had a radio one time that had a cat whisker detector on it, just like the one we're looking at there.
I didn't have one of those, but I did build a crystal radio set when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I built at least three or four different ones and never got any of them to work.
Really?
I lived too far out in the country from a radio station, and I guess that was just...
Oh, yeah. We lived in town. I liked it. I listened to mine a lot. It was really cool because you didn't have to have a battery to power the thing. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
I've got one already built. What if we look at that?
That'll work.
This one is a Vectronics kit from Vectronics.com. That's an MFJ company.
Yeah.
Very simple to put together. The kit came with everything, including the block of wood, a little bit of wire, a few components. It takes no battery. And the schematic, well, it looks like this. You can see there's an antenna on there. Mm-hmm. Well, where's our antenna on this one, Tom?
That's going to be our wire we've got right here.
That coil of wire. Yeah, it should be stretched out outside.
Yep.
So connected to the antenna, we've got an inductor that's connected to ground. Where is the inductor, Tommy?
It's going to be this big old coil right here.
Yeah, I wound that on a piece of PVC and glued it on there with super glue to hold it steady.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my fingers were on there for a day or two.
Couldn't let go of it?
Couldn't quite let go of it, but, it wound up pretty good. They tell you how many turns to put on there and everything, depending on what frequency you want to receive, because it's a tuned circuit. And the other part of that tuned circuit is the capacitor. And where is the capacitor?
Right here.
And you can just tune that to the frequency. And those two together, that inductor and capacitor form a tuned circuit, and that's how you tune the radio to the frequency that you want.
Cool.
So, that's all there is basically to tuning it. Next to that, we've got a detector diode. And, we just looked at that cat whisker a moment ago. That was a detector. During World War II in the trenches, a lot of the GIs used what they call foxhole radios, and they were made from materials they could find, and for a detector they would use a blued razor blade and a piece of carbon.
Oh, that's cool.
And that would act just like that cat whisker.
I've heard of those before.
This one right here is using something different though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's using this diode right here.
Yep, and that's a germanium diode, small signal diode. That's what actually takes the signal and converts it to audio that we can hear.
Cool.
And there's a couple other components on there, and that is a resistor to ground, and that's a fairly high value of resistor. You need that to kind of get the current to flow. And the last thing on the right-hand side there is a set of headphones, and, well, we don't really have headphones, but we have this nice high-impedance ear plug is what we used to call them. I was going to call it an earbud, but...
Yeah, that's a big one. I haven't seen one quite like that in a while.
Yeah, it's high impedance. Most of them you find around would be 8 ohms or so. This one's a high impedance. If you put an 8 ohm one across there, you wouldn't really hear anything. You just load the circuit down too much.
Okay.
So what we're going to do here is demonstrate how this would work. This one's already been built, but you can see just how simple it is. And if you're interested in kits in the $20 neighborhood, it's not very expensive.
Oh, it's not bad. Tell me why you don't have to have a battery for this to work.
Well, that's a good question. And
okay,
and
so
the reason
maybe you
is,
shouldn't tell me.
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
It's hoped that you've got enough of the RF energy being introduced into your antenna here that detector, it's a small signal detector, can actually rectify it and turn it into audio. So the power in this radio is actually the RF power out of the air.
So you got to have a fairly good signal for it to work.
Now, we're at a little disadvantage. The studio here is a metal building, and their radio signals do not get inside of here. Evan, your cell phone won't work in here.
Nothing gets in, nothing gets out.
Right. So, that's going to kind of make it tough for us to pick up a radio signal with it. Also, you need a ground connected to it. You'll notice that there were grounds across all the components there at the bottom. Well, back here at the set, there is no ground connection.
Yeah.
But I think we can work around that. We'll just stretch out a piece of wire here and pretend that's ground.
Okay. Here, I'll hook it up to the ground.
Yeah.
iPad.
For a radio station, we don't really have one of those in here either, well, except for our amateur stations. But I do happen to have an old general radio audio oscillator.
Okay.
Which you'd say, well, that's not RF, and that's true. But this thing actually will go up to 2 megahertz.
Oh.
And that'll cover the AM radio band.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can inject external audio into it and actually use it like a little transmitter. Now, it's more of a signal injector. It's a very tiny level, so it's not like you could put it on an antenna and you're broadcasting.
Oh, we won't really need very much since we're right here beside it.
Yeah, it's made to be injected directly into a circuit when you're testing. But what we can do here is just use a couple of clip leads here as an antenna connected to our oscillator or our radio transmitter. We'll just kind of throw it over our antenna lead there, just so it gets a little coupling. They're not physically connected. They're just close to each other. And now I'm going to try to do this and see if
we can hear it.
Pretty strong.
There you go. I can see it on the video meter.
Yeah, and you can tell when you get right on frequency there, you know, that it's picked up quite a bit. One thing you will notice, even off frequency, you pick it up a little bit. So what's going to happen with the crystal radio of this type, if you've got several strong stations in the area, you're likely going to hear a little bit all of them at once.
It's pretty broadbanded.
Huh? Yeah. Some of the better ones add more tuned circuits in there so that, you know, you can kind of filter that out and narrow it down to just the station you want to pick up better.
Yeah. Sounds like your hearing aid squealing.
It is. Let's see. If we move the antennas away a little bit further.
Oh, wow.
It's a little more sensitive then. You've got to be right on it or you don't get anything.
Okay. That's pretty strong laying right there on the antenna. It's probably overloading the circuit, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. The crystal radio.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Prove to me it works.
Yeah, I hear it.
This little kit is a Vectronics VEC 121K, in case you're interested in getting one for yourself.
Yeah. For around $20, that's a fun little project.
Yeah, and I actually took this one here and pulled the diode out, and I blued my own razor blade, because you can't buy blued razor blades anymore.
By heating it?
By heating it really hot with a torch. And I mounted it down there, and I got a little pencil, and I sharpened it up to a real sharp point, and I used it and made a detector to go in place of that diode.
And it worked?
It worked.
Cool.
Yeah.
It parted my hair back. The signal was so strong.
Yeah, it looks like we aged a little bit since then.
It could have just a little bit. You know, it would be hard for us to duplicate those segments at this point.
They were pretty good, though. I thought they were.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Obviously.
Yeah.
So we've got a few more of those that we'll be showing from time to time in upcoming episodes here. But right now, we're going to get back into the questions. From which of the following locations may an FCC-licensed amateur station transmit? A, from within any country that belongs to the International Telecommunications Union.
B, from within any country that is a member of the United Nations.
C, from anywhere within International Telecommunications Union, or ITU, Region 2 and 3.
Or D, from any vessel or craft located in international waters and documented or registered in the United States. Ooh. It's not going to be A.
Okay.
I don't think. It's not going to be B. I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure the United Nations don't have anything to do with it. Anywhere in international. ITU Regions 2 and 3. Got to have a reciprocal agreement. From any vessel or craft located in international waters, and documented or registered in the United States. It's not going to be B or A or B, like I said. It's going to be B or C or D. But D seems 100% plausible. I'm going to go with D. I'm just going to guess.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong.
That was a lucky guess.
Was it?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about the ITU regions. I know.
Yeah, when I was.
I don't remember the details about them.
When I was typing this in, like a week or two ago, I didn't get this one right.
Really?
I missed it, yeah.
Which one did you
pick? I said it was C, just like the first several people in the chat room here.
Well, it seems like that's plausible, but then...
They were mixed. It was C's and D's and E's in the chat room this time around. Now, just so there's no no misunderstanding. That's not the only place you can transmit from.
No, but out of those,
out of that list, yeah.
Which of the following can result in revocation of the station license or suspension of the operator license? A, failure to inform the FCC of any changes in the amateur station following performance of an RF safety environmental evaluation.
B, failure to provide and maintain a correct email address with the FCC.
C, failure to obtain FCC type acceptance prior to using a home-built transmitter.
D, failure to have a copy of your license available at your station. Which of the following can result in revocation of a station license or suspension of the operator's license?
This one's worded to trick you up.
Yeah. It's not A. You don't have to inform the FCC if there's a change when you do an RF safety environmental evaluation. C, failure to obtain FCC type acceptance prior to using a home-built transmitter. No, the FCC don't want to be involved in that. So it's either B or D. B, failure to provide and maintain a correct email address with the FCC. You know, we had a question earlier that seemed similar to this.
Uh-huh.
D, failure to have a copy of your license available at your station. Or B or D. I'm going to go with G.
There's no G up there.
I wish there was. I'm going to say D. Failure to have a copy of your license available at your station.
I'm going to say B.
B, okay. Let's see.
Oh, gee.
Well, the chat room, B and D. So at least somebody's got the same wrong answer and somebody's got the same right answer. Wow.
We just covered that one.
Yep. I thought we did, too.
So they worded it differently to try to trick you up. But you are supposed to have a copy of your license there, but maybe they won't revoke your license for not having it there. But you are supposed to have a copy.
Yeah, well, that's why I said D.
Mm-hmm. Seems like there will be two answers there.
Well, see, now there's my buzzer.
There you go.
I don't get one for that.
That's okay. At least I'm not the only one who got buzzed tonight. But I feel somewhat reprieved.
Well, I only feel half as bad because there are other people who missed it with the same wrong answer.
Yeah, I didn't look at mine if anybody else made the same one I did. I was probably the lone guy.
Well, let's see if you can get another one on this. What is the normal term of an FCC-issued amateur radio license? Is it A, 5 years?
B, life.
C, 10 years.
D, 8 years. Well, I just so happen to know this one because I just renewed two of these, one for myself and one for Sabrina. So the answer is going to be C, Charlie, 10 years.
That's what they're saying in the chat room. There you go, 10 years. All right.
Just renewed mine, did a segment on it, so I definitely knew that one.
Oh, I knew it was 10 years. I thought it was 5 at one point. I may have that mixed up with what the commercial licenses used to be, but now they're lifetime.
What's the grace period for renewal if an amateur license expires? A, 2 years.
B, 3 years.
C, 5 years.
D, 10 years.
I had to do this one, too, because Sabrina's had expired.
The grace period, that means if your license has expired, you've got up to 2 years after that that you can renew it. So I'm going to say it's A, 2 years.
Yep.
Chat room saying A. Good answer.
And they're not playing either because one of my buddies, his expired. And he tried to, his call sign still looked up in the database, but he couldn't... You couldn't renew. It was past his 2 years.
You know, one of our Elmers, that happened to him. It was before we were licensed, but RMZ.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his expired one time, and he had to retake his technician and his general to get back to general. So, yeah, renew that thing. Even if you're not active at the time, or you know some friends who let their license expire.
If you got your email address registered with them like you're supposed to, they'll actually send you a reminder. Actually, the ARRL sends it.
But if you know you got friends out there who didn't renew, just remind them, hey, why not?
I did that to one of my coworkers, too. His was like a month from the 2 years. He didn't realize it. I'm like, one day I just thought about his call sign. I looked it up, and it showed expired. So I told him about it. I sent him a link to my segment where I renewed mine. He followed instructions on there and did his.
Yeah, I sent emails to two different friends who had let theirs expire, and they were coming up on 2 years. Neither one of them renewed.
Really?
One of them, I don't know if he's still with us or not. I haven't heard from him in so many years, I don't know. The other one, I eventually finally talked to him, and he said, well, there wasn't anybody he wanted to talk to anyway. He had moved. But you know,
that's the whole point. If you move, you can talk to people where you used to be.
He could get on HF. He could have talked to us, but maybe he didn't have anything to say to us.
Maybe so.
Yeah. How soon after passing the examination for your first amateur radio license may you transmit on the amateur radio bands? Boy, this one has really changed since we got our licenses. A, immediately on receiving your certificate of successful completion of examination, the CSCE.
B, as soon as your operator / station. B, as soon as your operator station license grant appears in the ARRL website.
C, as soon as your operator / station license grant appears in the FCC's license database.
D, as soon as you receive your license in the mail from the FCC. That used to be the case. Although you could call them and they would tell you, but I'm sure they probably got real tired of that. You cannot get it. You don't have a call sign when you get your CSCE. And
no,
the ARRL website's not the controlling party here. It's the FCC. So it's going to be C. As soon as your operator station license grant appears in the FCC license database.
I'm going to agree with you.
And you can go on there, and it's pretty easy to search that. Check it.
You know, back when I got licensed, it was the first wave of exams after the FCC dropped the Morse code requirement on technician.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, but Jim and I went and took our exams in 5SPE from
Jim the Torch.
We took ours at the same time. It was like a week after that rule change. They were giving the test in Jackson. We both took it and passed it. It was a month before we got our licenses because you had to get it in the mail. There was no FCC license database you could access on the internet then.
Yeah.
We bought radios. We knew we passed.
Internet.
Yeah. We knew we passed. We went and bought radios at the same Hamfest and then could just listen to them for a month. We were waiting on the licenses to come. By the way,
you were ready.
Chat room all said C on that one right there. And yeah, the FCC does not mail copies anymore.
Oh, no. You'd have to go download it and print it. If your license has expired and is still within the allowable grace period, may you continue to transmit on the amateur radio bands? A, yes, for up to 2 years.
B, yes, as soon as you apply for renewal.
C, yes, for up to 1 year.
Or D, no, you must wait until the license has been renewed. Wow. Well, based on what we just said, you would think it's not D. You got to wait till it's renewed. But I think that is the case.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You can go on the website and make sure that it says active.
Yeah, I guess you could do that. Yeah, that would be, you'd see it on the license database that had been renewed. Yeah, I'm going to say it's D. If your license is expired, you can't transmit until it's been renewed.
Right.
So, D.
Yeah, that's kind of a common sense one.
Chat room saying D. And it is. And that is the last question tonight.
Oh, so soon?
So soon. This has been part three of our studies of the FCC amateur radio technician class exam. Guess which one, which part it's going to be next time.
Well, math is kind of hard, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably going to be four.
I would say that's a good chance, but you have to tune in to find out for sure. Probably will be, though. Anyway, yeah, tell your friends, your mom and them, or whoever, that, hey, here's your chance to become an amateur radio operator as well.
It's easy.
Yep. And those of you who are out there studying that don't have a license yet, hang with us. Get you a book and study a little bit. We recommend Gordon West Amateur Radio Study Guide, which is available through the ARRL now. Or also the ARRL has good study guides as well. I don't have a copy of Gordo's right here. I do have a copy of the latest ham radio license manual for a technician here, which is wire-bound. It's a pretty thick book, so it's got a lot of good information in there. Or you can just download the question pool and do it that way.
Yeah.
You looked interested in that. You might want to get your technician.
That's just thing. It's pretty. It is a pretty good-sized book. It's
it is. Yeah. So. But, yeah. You can just download the questions and answers and study them that way. But why not go a little bit further? That's a doable thing, though. And a lot of people got theirs that way.
Yeah, you can do it. But I would recommend learning the principles behind it.
That's most of the fun.
Yeah.
You know, is learning why these are the answers
to these questions. And honestly, if you do that, you're not going to be, at least I don't think you'll be, I wasn't, is intimidated to get on and actually key up the radio and start talking. Thinking you might do something wrong or whatever, not really understanding.
Yeah.
Just learn if it's A, B, or C, or D for whatever, you could study the question and the answer only and pass.
Yeah.
Pretty easy, but that's not the way to do it, really.
We mentioned earlier that you brought your radio tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't really have room on this table here for it. So what do you say we give it away?
Let's don't. How about we give away one like it?
Oh, we can do that too.
But I'm taking this one back home with me when I leave here tonight.
Okay. That's the ICOM IC705. Do you want to tell us about it? You've had one for a while now.
Yeah. It's... I've said it before, this is my absolute favorite rig I own. If I had to have one radio, this would probably be the one that I had, because it's got 2 meters, 70 centimeters, HF bands, I think 6 meters in here, all the modes, D-Star, works off of, it's 5 watts on the built-in battery, but I'm hooked actually.
Well, it's not built on the internal battery. It's actually a handy talkie battery.
Yeah.
It's the same one that's on my handy talkie.
It is.
And yours.
Yeah. I can't get through that right now. I was going to pop the battery off the back, but it's a real handy little radio. I love it. It's, like I said, it's my favorite radio I own. I did field day on it the last 3 years, yeah. I think.
What if you happen to have a box with a 12-volt battery in it, like this one right here?
You get 10 watts out of it then.
Okay, twice as much.
Twice as much.
And that's all band, all modes?
Yep, and D-Star as well. It's got a built-in GPS, Wi-Fi connectivity, or wireless LAN is what they call it in there. But.
Yeah. It's got a nice little microphone.
Yeah, well, the microphone's great. It's a little speaker mic. Got controls on the, a few controls on it, and sounds really good. The speaker's nice on it.
Does it have a USB port?
It does have a USB port.
And what can you do with that?
Well, you can actually charge the battery through it, or I think you can hook up data. Oh, I've never actually hooked up the data to it. But
I bet sure you could. Can. Yeah. And then you could work digital modes just through a USB port.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You absolutely can. I'm sure of that. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. It's actually got presets in here for FT8, which you would use that through the
USB. It's got FT8 presets in it?
It's got a preset. It came in one of the firmwares, so you can hit it and it sets the radio up for FT8.
Okay. Wow.
Really nice. Got the BNC connector for the antenna on the side.
What else has it got on the side?
Micro SD card.
Okay. So
you can save your memory channels and things like that, or you can record your QSOs on it if you want to do that.
Okay.
A lot of different things. I use it. I actually use it to back up my settings and stuff like that. You can update your firmware with it. You can actually download the CS705 software off the ICOM site and program memory channels on the radio if you want to.
You know, that recording your QSOs, that might be a handy thing. Say if you were doing a contest or something and you were having trouble copying a call, you didn't get it written down quick enough, you could go back and review it off that recording.
Yeah, it's got Bluetooth connectivity. And it actually, if you go back and look at the Amateur Logic from Field Day this time, you'll see that I have a little M5 stack that I set up and paired it with this radio to use the voice keyers for Field Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really full-feature radio. It's awesome. I absolutely love it.
So it's really pretty much everything in a small package. QRP radio is what we'd refer to it as, typically. Low power. Portable operations. Of course, a lot of people use them at home, too.
Mm-hmm. I've used it at home, son.
Yeah. So, why would a couple of fellows like us give this away?
Well, I don't know.
That's a good question, huh?
Well, we've been doing Amateur Logic. This is going on 19 years. In October, it will be 19 years. Hard to believe. And so anyway, every year for, I don't know how many years, but it's been quite some time. ICOM's been kind enough to sponsor us and donate a radio to give away. And so right now, that's first prize we've got set up for the giveaway.
So it's our 19th birthday. And you get the prize.
Sounds like a pretty good birthday party.
It is. Now, all the details have not been posted yet because all this came about just in the last couple of days. We got the verifications on the radio. Our other sponsor that has given us the accessories with this is going out of business, MFJ Enterprises. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with them. If you're a ham, I know you're familiar with them. We are still in search of a sponsor for the accessories. I feel certain we can come up with something. If not, we'll just give you a spool of wire and a piece of coax, and you can make your own.
And a gold PL-259. I think I got one left.
We wouldn't do you that way, especially since it takes a BNC connector. But, we'll have more details on this coming up soon. There's a way you can find the information when it is posted. You can go to any of the Amateur Logic social media groups, like facebook.com/group/hamcollege or /amateurlogic.
Yeah, you can follow us on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it this week at Ham College and at Amateur Logic, both.
Or go to groups.io/g/amateurlogic. If you join there to this group, you get notifications posted whenever there's anything in particular going on. Plus, we'll have it at amateurlogic.tv on our website there. We'll be talking more about this in the upcoming episode of Amateur Logic, which is going to be Friday, September the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
13th. You know, it's not every month that we have that opportunity.
That's going to be the Jason Voorhees episode.
Yeah?
Ski mask. Bring your ski mask or you can't get in.
Sounds like a thing.
Or hockey mask, rather. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So we'll have all the details coming up. We just wanted to give you a little heads up that this was coming, and we'll be celebrating 19 years on October. That episode will be October the 18th, and that's when we will announce the winner. There'll be a few rules. Basically, you will have to be an amateur radio operator.
In the U.S. or Canada?
In the U.S. or Canada. And there's not many rules. We'll have those posted. I hate to go through them tonight because we don't have them in front of us, and we could miss something. And plus, we won't tell you what other accessories will be coming with this. So tune in to the next Amateur Logic on Friday the 13th. We'll have more details for you. They'll probably be posted online.
That's an unlucky day, but it's going to be lucky for somebody.
Yeah. Essentially, all you're going to do is send us an email with certain pieces of information in there. Just basically, we can verify, you know, who you are and where to send the radio if you win by the random drawing we're going to do. Yeah.
So this is a little heads up to be on the lookout for it.
Yep. If Tommy's radio comes up missing, you could be the lucky winner.
It won't come up missing. I'm not going to take my eyes off of it.
All right. Well, anything else we need to cover tonight before we get out of here?
I think that covers it pretty well.
Okay.
For now.
Cool. Well, thanks, everyone, for watching Ham College here. And do join us on the next Amateur Logic coming up.
13th.
The 13th. Friday the 13th in September.
Yep. So, 7-3, everybody.
7-3. And we're studying for the amateur extra exam currently on Ham College. I think this is our third lesson.
We're studying for the technician exam.
What did I say?
Amateur extra.
Oh!